Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in the text that we consider tonight is verse 4. This is the inspired word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The text that we consider tonight is verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23 is arguably the most well-known of all of the Psalms. These are some of the first verses that our children memorize at a young age. Psalm 53, which we are going to sing after the sermon, is one of the first that our children commit to memory. As adults, most of us could recite Psalm 23 with the same ease with which we recite the Apostles' Creed each Sunday evening. And if you visit the nursing homes, if you go to the elderly saints, it is this psalm that they are still singing and quoting in their hearts. This is a familiar psalm. But with that familiarity comes a certain danger, because these words can become so familiar to us that we're able to read right over them without being moved by them, without being impressed by the beauty of this psalm. And thus, a sermon on Psalm 23 is very appropriate, for a sermon on this text can give us a renewed love, not only for the 23rd psalm itself, but more importantly, it can give us a renewed love for the great shepherd of this psalm. David, the shepherd boy turned king, was the human writer of this psalm. We know from the book of 1 Samuel that David was a shepherd. He had experience caring for a flock, providing for his sheep, and protecting them from enemies. And it was from this vocation that God called him to be the king in Israel. We read in Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71, for example, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. From following ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. David had experience as a shepherd, and thus when he penned the words of this psalm, he was able to draw from that experience. And thus we read that he likens Jehovah God to a shepherd, with the implication that we, God's people, are his sheep. We do not know the immediate occasion during which David penned the words of this psalm. There are many possibilities. We will allude to some of them later on in the sermon, but the Holy Spirit does not give us that information. And by not giving us that information, this psalm, therefore, transcends the immediate circumstances of David's life, and thus it is all the more easy to apply this psalm to whatever difficulties, to whatever hardships we face as sheep walking in a valley. Tonight we look specifically at verse 4, and the main truth of verse 4 is that our shepherd is with us. He is present among his sheep as they walk through the valley that is this life. So tonight we will consider verse 4, using as our theme the shepherd's presence in the valley. First, we will look at the dark valley. Second, the present shepherd. And third, the resulting comfort. The dark valley. We are sheep in a valley. Sheep. That is the main illustration of this psalm. And there are especially two characteristics, two things that sheep stand in need of that we need to call attention to at the outset of this sermon. Sheep need provision and protection. First, sheep need provision. Sheep are rather unintelligent creatures, and thus they need someone to bring them to their food and to their water. They need constant direction and guidance. Added to that, sheep need to be kept together as a flock, for sheep are prone to wandering, to going astray, and thus a flock, if left to itself, would soon become scattered, and each one of the sheep would get itself lost. Thus, sheep need provision. Sheep also need protection. Sheep are defenseless creatures. The psalmist is not likening us to a bighorn sheep that we might found in the mountains with its powerful curved horns and its agile feet that enable it to navigate the cliff terrain. Not that kind of a sheep, but a domesticated sheep. Unarmed, vulnerable, helpless, defenseless sheep. We, as God's people, are his sheep, and thus we too need provision and protection. We need someone to provide for us. If left to ourselves, we would starve to death. We need someone to guide us and to direct us, and that includes keeping us together as a flock, for as sheep, we are prone to wandering away from the rest of the flock and getting ourselves lost. We also need protection as God's sheep. Of ourselves, we have no ability to fight against those spiritual enemies which seek to devour us like predators hunting down their prey. Sheep. This is not intended to be a flattering comparison when we are likened to such creatures. Now, more specifically to this text, we are sheep in a valley. Verse 4 speaks of a valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For sheep to be in a valley was a very familiar idea for the Israelites. For in Israel, due to their hot climate, every summer, shepherds would take their flocks up into the mountains. For in the mountains, there were green pastures upon which the sheep could graze. And thus, the shepherd provided for his sheep in part by directing them to these green pastures. Valleys were the passageways that led up into the mountains. If you want to get into the mountains, you take the valley road, that low area between the high walls of the mountains on either side of the valley. Valleys serve as the access point whereby the sheep can get to those green mountain pastures because they cannot climb the otherwise steep terrain. We too are sheep in a valley. The valley that is this earthly life. Now there are many who understand the reference to a valley here in Psalm 23 verse 4 as referring exclusively to the moment of death. They view passage through the valley as passage from this life into the next. And thus this verse is often used to console those who are near to death. But rather than referring exclusively to the valley, this psalm has in view the whole of our lives from the day that we are born until the moment we die. And that is evident from the fact that we are walking in this valley. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Walking refers to the progress of everyday life, and thus the valley is our trek, our journey throughout the whole of this life. And thus, death is not the valley itself, but death instead is what lies at the very end of this valley. But such a valley is a fearful place to be for sheep. It is a fearful place to be because it's very dark and full of many evils. First, this is a dark valley. Valleys are inherently dark places. The only time that the sun shines down into the valley is when it's at its highest point. Otherwise, those mountain walls block out the light of the sun. They keep the sun from penetrating down into the valley. They're inherently dark places. But the valley that is this life is an especially dark valley. And that's the meaning of that phrase of the shadow of death. In the original Hebrew, that phrase is just one word. It's a compound word of the two words for death and shadow put together, literally a death shadow. And this word is consistently used in Scripture to refer to a deep, deep darkness. For example, Job uses this word to describe the deep darkness of a miner's shaft. But now the question becomes, what is it that makes the valley that is this life so dark? It is a dark valley because death itself casts its shadow over this life. Death is the God-ordained punishment for sin. It is that great enemy that ever looms before man, and death is inescapable. Every man must face this great foe the moment he draws his last breath. And now it's death that acts as those mountain walls, blocking out the light of the sun, casting their shadow over the valley, the journey, the trek that is our earthly life. This is a dark valley, and thus it is a fearful place to be. But it's also a fearful place to be because there are many evils in this valley. That's the implication of the confession of the psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The psalmist says that because there are many evils to be feared. And now, in Scripture, that word evil can often refer to sin, but that's not the idea here. Instead, when the psalm speaks of evil, it's referring to that which is harmful, that which is injurious and causes problems for the sheep as they walk through this valley. This word can be translated a number of different ways, and by looking at the different ways it can be translated, we get a sense for what this word means. It can be translated as adversity or affliction, calamity or distress, harm, ill, misery, sorrow, and trouble. Those are the evils of this valley, that which causes injury either physically or spiritually. And for sheep in a valley, there are indeed many evils. For there are predators in the valley, the lions, the bears, and the wolves. For such predators, a defenseless, vulnerable sheep is an easy target. Added to that, there's the evils of the valley itself. Yes, it's the easier way to get into the mountains, but nevertheless, if a sheep would get itself separated from the rest of the flock, it runs the risk of stumbling into a pit or getting itself caught in some thicket. And you see, the darkness of the valley only accentuates these evils because the sheep cannot see where they're going. The sheep cannot see what's out there in the darkness. This valley is very dark and full of many evils. And thus, as I said, this is a fearful place to be. Fear, that unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, that feeling of anxiety and dread that swells within us when we perceive that there are many evils surrounding us. Such fear is our natural inclination. And that comes out from how often the Scriptures speak of fear. One writer said that if you take the word for fear, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as well as its synonyms, there's over 300 references to fear in the Scriptures. The specific command, "fear not," occurs no less than 53 times in the Old Testament alone. And what does that tell us, if not this? That this is how we normally respond. This is our tendency, our inclination when we are surrounded by darkness and many, many evils. And now this evening, I ask you, people of God, what is it that you fear? Are you afraid of what you will encounter in the valley? Are you frightened by that great predator, that roaring lion, the devil? Perhaps he's had you in his grasp lately, and you are frightened by the prospect of another such encounter. Or are you afraid of getting yourself lost? Perhaps you know your sinful tendency to wander astray from the rest of the flock, and you are terrified that your own sinful nature is going to lead you into some pit. Or are you afraid of relentless pain and suffering? Yes, the valley road is the easier way to get to the mountains, but it's still a long, strenuous, uphill climb. Or is it the darkness that you fear? Are you afraid of the unknown? Is that not what makes the darkness scary? We cannot see where we are going. We cannot see what's out there lurking behind the shadows. Not knowing what lies ahead in the future is a very fearful prospect. Or is it death that you fear? The valley is not referring exclusively to the moment of death, but death is what lies at the end of this valley, and there are few things that are darker than the prospect of death. Or lastly, are you afraid of being alone in this valley, forsaken, left to walk it by yourselves? David, the human writer of this psalm, faced many of these same fears. He was like a helpless lamb being hunted down by predators. He had his own father-in-law and then later on his son tracking him in the wilderness. David knew what it was like to be a lost sheep. After he committed his sin with Bathsheba, it was as though he had wandered astray from the rest of the flock. David faced the prospect of death. There were many times when no doubt he wondered if his death was very imminent, if today would be the last day that he would live. And David also knew what it was to be alone. One of the occasions he was fleeing from his father, Saul, we read that he came to the cave of Adullam, and every indication from Scripture is that he was there all alone, left to himself until later on his brothers came to him. we would summarize the first point, we could say very briefly this. We are sheep. As sheep, we are walking through the valley that is this life. This valley is very dark and full of many evils, and thus this valley is a fearful place to be. But the main truth of Psalm 23, verse 4, is not the dark valley itself, but rather the main truth of Psalm 23, verse 4, is that our shepherd is with us in this valley. Our shepherd is present as we walk through this valley. But now, before we look very specifically at the shepherd's presence, we must first look at the shepherd's identity. Who is it that is guiding us and directing us through this valley? And the obvious answer from verse 1 is Jehovah. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And now, most often in Scripture, God reveals Himself to us through His names. For example, the name used here is Jehovah, indicated by the fact that the word Lord is in all capital letters. This name means that Jehovah is I am. And thus it reveals to us that He's independent, He's self-sufficient, and therefore sovereign over everything. God reveals Himself to us through His names. But now, in addition to God's names, at times Scripture likens God to certain things in order to teach us various truths concerning Jehovah God. For example, God roars like a lion. He is bright like the sun, a source of defense like a shield, and a source of safety like a fortress. Here in Psalm 23, verse 4, the Holy Spirit inspired David to liken Jehovah God to a shepherd, and thus we must look at the idea of a shepherd in order to learn truths about our God. What is a shepherd, therefore, is the question that we must ask. And to answer that very simply, a shepherd is one who provides for and protects his sheep. And thus, a shepherd is exactly what the sheep need. He provides for his sheep. He brings them to their food and to their water, even exerting himself to bring them high up into the mountains so that they can graze on those green pastures in those mountains. He guides them and directs them. And this includes making sure that they stay on the right path. And if they stray from that right path, the shepherd goes after those sheep. He seeks after them and saves them from whatever trouble, from whatever evil they have gotten themselves into. A shepherd provides for his sheep. A shepherd also protects his sheep. He drives away the lions. He wards off the bears. He makes sure that his sheep are safe and secure. And that's so important because of their helpless, defenseless character. And now, to do all of this, a shepherd makes use of two main instruments, a rod and a staff. The psalm speaks of both in verse 4 towards the end. For thou, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was a club-like weapon. It was made out of an especially dense piece of wood. And of the two instruments, this one was the shorter, thicker, and heavier of the two. And the shepherd used his rod primarily to protect his sheep. This was the weapon he used that he laid hold of in order to drive away those lions and to ward off the wolves. David had experience using this. He recalled that at one time he told others how a bear and then later on a lion came and they took hold of some of his sheep. But David, being a faithful shepherd, went after those predators and he laid hold of them and he smote them with his rod. He used the rod to protect his sheep. In addition to a rod, the shepherd carried a staff. The staff is the shepherd's crook, and there's perhaps nothing that more identifies a shepherd than this instrument. It's that long piece of wood with a hook on the end. Boys and girls, you can picture a question mark, but rather than a period at the end, a very long tail. The shepherd used his staff, his crook, primarily to provide for his sheep by guiding them and directing them. This instrument was the longer, thinner, and lighter of the two, and the shepherd would use this staff to steer his sheep in the right direction. He would often kind of just set it along them, just barely touching the sheep so that they would know that they are headed in the right direction. And now if the sheep started to go down the wrong path, the shepherd would gently nudge the sheep so that it was walking on the correct path. But then even if a sheep did get itself lost, if it did fall into a pit or get itself caught in the thicket, the shepherd could use the hook on the end to grab hold of that sheep and pull it to safety. The shepherd had a rod and a staff. Now, as we said, David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, likens Jehovah God to a shepherd. And thus, this psalm teaches us that Jehovah provides for and protects his people, giving them everything that they stand in need of and guarding them from their enemies. But now, rather than elaborating on that point, we want to stay focused on verse 4 and the main truth of verse 4, namely, that this shepherd is with us. And now we look more specifically at the shepherd's presence. Our shepherd is with us specifically as a close companion. That is what that little word "with" especially emphasizes. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In the Hebrew language, there are three different words that can be translated into the English language as "with." And now, of those three Hebrew words, the specific one used here emphasizes the closeness of that relationship. It has the idea of fellowship and companionship. And what a fitting word to be used to describe the presence of our shepherd. For just as a earthly shepherd lives the whole of his life among the sheep, even sleeping with those sheep, so Jehovah God is with his people as a close companion. But now this raises the question, in what sense is God with us? We know, for example, that Jehovah God is omnipresent. We included that in our prayer. No matter where we go in this whole universe, we cannot escape God's presence. But that is not the primary idea of Psalm 23, verse 4. God's omnipresence enables him to be present according to the primary idea of Psalm 23, verse 4. But God's omnipresence applies to everything, to the inanimate objects around us, as well as to the goats and to the wolves. And surely Psalm 23 has a much more special sense of God's presence in mind than his omnipresence. We also know that Jehovah God is with us in a unique sense when we gather together as a body of believers in order to worship him. That was true in the Old Testament. God was with his people in a unique sense in that he dwelled in that Old Testament tabernacle. That was a special sense of God's presence, really a covenant sense of God's presence. But neither is this the primary idea of Psalm 23, verse 4, because we're talking about sheep in a valley on their way to the mountain pasture, sheep that are far away from the public corporate worship of God. So the question remains, in what sense is Jehovah God with us? He is with us ultimately through Jesus Christ and his Spirit. For Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. That is what that name, Emmanuel, means. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. He became partakers of our flesh and blood. He assumed a true human nature, and thus he was with us on this earth. And now specifically, the shepherd was with us because in John 10, verse 11, we read of Jesus Christ saying, "I am the good shepherd." And now by saying those words in that way, "I am," he was making known that he is Jehovah. He is God himself. But more specifically, he said, "I am the good shepherd." And so, yes, we can speak about Jehovah, the triune God, as our shepherd. That's no doubt what David had in mind when he spoke these words. But in a special sense, we can speak of Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. But now, perhaps in the back of your mind, you're thinking, Jesus Christ is not on this earth. He's in heaven, sitting at God's right hand. How is it that you can say that he is with us as a close companion, guiding us and directing us through the valley that is this life, if he is in heaven above? Well, he is with us through his Spirit. For while Jesus Christ was on this earth, he made a promise to his disciples. He told them, "I will come again to you." And he kept that promise when he poured out his own Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, upon the church at Pentecost. And thus, the Spirit of Christ now lives and dwells within the hearts of God's people. That is the unique sense. That's the special sense whereby we can say that he is with us. He lives in my heart, says the believer. He is to me a close companion with whom I have fellowship and companionship. And thus the believer can say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So Jesus Christ is ultimately our shepherd is ultimately with us through his own Spirit living and dwelling within our hearts. But there are two additional exegetical points that are worth making regarding the shepherd's presence. First, the shepherd is with us by means of his rod and his staff. An earthly shepherd made his presence felt by those two instruments, his rod and his staff. These were the means, the tools whereby he provided for and protected his sheep. If the sheep needed to be brought to water, the shepherd used that staff to direct them. And if the sheep needed protection, the means, the instrument that the shepherd used was that rod, that club. And now the means whereby Jehovah God, our shepherd, provides for and protects his sheep is his word, especially as it is preached. You see, God's word, and especially the preaching of that word, serve the same functions as that rod and that staff. By means of the word, our shepherd provides for us his sheep. We receive nourishment by sitting under the preaching of the gospel. And it is by means of that word that we have protection, for the word is itself a weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit whereby we can fight against our enemies. And thus, our shepherd is with us by means of his word. For the Spirit uses the word in the preaching of the word to guide us and direct us. That first. Secondly, our shepherd is with us as we are members of his flock. In the days of David, shepherds did not take each individual sheep into the mountain pastures, taking one at a time, going up, coming back down for the next one, and then returning again. That would have been a complete waste of time. No, he took his whole flock, and thus he was with them as a flock of sheep. And now Jehovah, our shepherd, is with us also as we too are members of the flock. That is, as we are members of the church of Jesus Christ. And that is especially the case because it's in the church that we come under the preaching of God's Word. Our shepherd is with us. And now, knowing that is true, there is a resulting comfort. A resulting comfort. And that comfort, first of all, is that we need not fear. The confession of the psalm is this: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That was David's own confession of faith. By these words, David indicated that the normal response would not be his. And that does not mean that David was somehow immune to fear. He knew that he did not know what it was like to be afraid. But instead, by saying these words, David was indicating that he would put his trust in Jehovah. He was saying that knowing that my shepherd is with me as I walk through the valley that is this life, that I'm not going to allow those fears to get the best of me. I'm not going to allow those worries to consume me. But I'm going to put my confidence in Jehovah God, knowing that He will ever provide for me and protect me. The psalmist could say, "I will fear no evil." In addition, the psalmist had a great comfort. The end of verse 4, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now the specific word used here in Psalm 23, verse 4, translated as comfort, is a very vivid and thus beautiful word. It means literally to draw a deep breath. When our children get worked up, we might say to them, "Take a deep breath." And the idea is this: calm down. It's going to be okay. This word comfort has the underlying sense of relief, that feeling of reassurance, even relaxation that we get when our anxieties and our worries are taken care of. And what a contrast this is to fear. Because when we're afraid, those fears can consume us. We sometimes allow that worry, that dread to fill us. So that's all that's on our mind. That's all that we can think about. And as we walk through this valley, we sometimes wonder, what's out there in the darkness? What predator is lurking behind the shadows that I cannot see? What's in front of me? Am I going to stumble into some pit? We let those fears consume us so that we cry out, "What's going to happen to me out here in the darkness?" But then we remember, there's my shepherd. He is with me. I can take a deep breath. You see, people of God, there's a deliberate contrast between fear on the one hand and comfort on the other. These two terms are deliberately set over against each other in this psalm. And it's the shepherd's presence, knowing that He is with us. That truth drives away our fears. It dispels all of our worries. And it gives us the ability to take a deep breath when we walk through this dark, dark valley with many evils. What is the basis for this comfort? The basis for this comfort is that we are Jehovah's elect, blood-bought sheep. We are His sheep by election. The confession of the psalmist in verse 1 is that Jehovah God is my shepherd, possessive. I belong to Him, says the believer. He has chosen me. He knows me by name. I'm a member of His flock, and I know that because I recognize His voice. I hear Jesus Christ speaking to me in the preaching. I am one of His elect sheep. But I am also His sheep because I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, laid down His life for His sheep. sheep. And that meant, first of all, that he too walked the valley that is the shadow of death. The road that he faced was one filled with many, many evils. It was a lifetime of suffering and humiliation and misery. But worse than that, Jesus faced the blackest darkness of all, God's wrath. Recall, everything was dark as he hung there on the cross, bearing the wrath that you and I deserve for our sins. Jesus was truly in the death shadow. And he was there all alone. That was his own testimony when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And importantly, he was forsaken so that we, his sheep, will never have to be. And after bearing God's wrath, our shepherd laid down his life, and by that saving work, he has purchased us to himself. We belong to him. We have the mark that distinguishes us as his sheep. We have his blood sprinkled upon us. And now, knowing that we are his, knowing that we are so dear to him, that he was willing to lay down his life for us, and knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us, but will always be with us, let us say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thou art our shepherd, and we thank thee for the comforting truth that thou art ever with us, for thy Spirit now lives and dwells within our hearts. Guide us and direct us as we walk through this valley, and when our way is dark, when there are many evils surrounding us, give us grace to look to our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, and take comfort, knowing that he is with us. Amen.